The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play this game since I was in fourth grade, and I've been with the Panthers now for 8 years, and it's never the right time to step away, but now is the right time for me, and it's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast. Sullen, Will Brinson, your host. Tough day if you're a football fan, because Luke Kuechly, as you just heard, announced his retirement from football. This is actually the Luke Kuechly Emergency Podcast. It's myself and Sean Wagner. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I like that when you have less names to announce, you can't get out my full name.
Oh, sorry. Sean Wagner McGuff. I apologize.
There it is.
I like it. My bad. Anyway. Make it about you.
You're emotional. I get it. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In a weird, look, so Luke Kuechly announced his retirement. I was sitting, on the couch. I just put my son to bed. We'd recorded the Brady Quinn football show earlier. Make sure and check that out in your feed. And, I had, Twitter open. I opened up Twitter and I saw that the Panthers had tweeted something. It was like Luke Kuechly in a button down and a blazer, and I need to look and see what the caption was that the Panthers added to it, but it was like I didn't need to see the video to know what it said. Let's see, where is it? I think it said, "In my heart, I know it's the right thing to do." Is that their initial tweet? I believe it was. Yeah, "In my heart, I know it's the right thing to do," and like it was, I was like, "Oh my God, Luke Kuechly's retiring." And that is a big, big, shocking piece of news. And he turns 29 in April, former defensive rookie of the year, former defensive player of the year, led the league in tackles twice, top 10 draft pick from the 2012 draft. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you, Sean?
10. Yeah. Look, 12. We've seen players retire before at the age of 30 or before the age of 30. And like with the case of Gronk, for example, you could just tell by watching him that his body was broken down and like he needed to step away.
You're speaking of Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski. What makes Kuechly's retirement so shocking, and yes, we know about his injury history, we know about the concussions, but it's not like when you watch him play the game on Sundays, you think, oh, this guy is like old, he's injured, he's past his prime. He's coming off a really good season. He had 144 tackles, which is more he had in 2018. In 2018, he was first team all pro. So this is a lot like, for me, you can say maybe the Andrew Luck situation or the Calvin Johnson situation, maybe more comparable, because this is a guy who's still playing at the top of his game and walking away. That's why it's so shocking.
So if you go to Luke Kuechly's Wikipedia page and you hit Control F to find a word and you type in the word concussion, it shows up 11 times. That's a lot. And now that's not all for, you know, he didn't have 11 concussions, but, you know, it's like in 2016, he had 10 games and suffered a concussion in week 11. And then, you know, missed six games. He still had over 100 tackles that year. And then in 2017, he was placed in the concussion protocol after playing against the Eagles. And I believe that Eagles game was the one where he was carted off crying. And it was that Thursday night game against Philly. Carson, it was an awesome game. That was sort of the Eagles coming out party that year with Carson Wentz, because Carolina was a very good team as well. 2 weeks later, he cleared concussion protocol and he came back and had a big game. And he's been, didn't feel like he's really dealt with the concussions a lot over the last 2 years. But at the same time, you know, you hear what he said on the video and he got emotional. And you know what? You don't need me to read it. Why don't I just play it for you? Here's an emotional Luke Kuechly describing why he left.
You know, there's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. So I thought about it for a long time, and I think now is an opportunity for me to step away.
I mean, look, it's hard not to listen to that, and it's hard to listen to that and not get emotional. I mean, this is a guy who, like, you hear all the cliches about being a, you know, coach's son or a, you know, like a blue collar mentality, just a football guy. Like, he's a football guy. He's one of the most brilliant minds at middle linebacker that you will ever see play the game of football. Drafted in 2012, again, defensive rookie of the year, defensive player of the year in 2013. Just piles up tackles, always ahead of the offense, always in the right spot. When they had a good defensive line going to Carolina, Kuechly would just explode in there. 12 and a half sacks, 18 interceptions. I mean, but you can tell, Sean, that if he were perfectly healthy, he'd be coming back expecting to have an all-pro season.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing, he didn't directly cite concussions in his statement. You have to imagine that's obviously the injuries that he's talking about. But to what he's saying, what makes it so frustrating from a viewer standpoint, I'm sure for him, is that with a knee injury or a back injury in the case of Gronk, you can just see that on the field, and that just makes it really easy to accept. You can't really see the impact of concussions except when he's getting carted off and crying. And he actually had a quote in 2017. I was going back and looking at it. They were asking him if he would think about changing his playing style to kind of minimize the risk. And he said, you play the game and don't think about getting hurt because that slows you down, and then that ends up increasing the likelihood of getting hurt. So that kind of echoes what he said in that clip there, which was, look, I can't change the way I play the game. If I start even thinking about that, I'm not going to be Luke Kuechly anymore. By the way,
Gronk just tweeted out, as we were recording this, Gronk tweeted, congrats, Luke Kuechly, on early retirement. You were a fearless player all out there on the field. So when are you coming back? Which is like, I don't know if I'm making it about you, Gronk, but that's pretty funny. Cause like, nobody's like, when is Andrew Luck coming back? Well, I guess people do ask about Luck, but there, nobody's gonna be like, when, all right, people kind of ask that. That's fine. But like, but like, people weren't like, is Luck coming back in week 7? Like, can the Colts call Luck? And like, nobody's gonna be like, can the Panthers call Luke Kuechly and bring him back? But every week people are like, could Gronk come back? So I find that amusing. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, you were talking about his tackle machines. If you go and just sort by 2012 to 2019, which was the span of his career, and you just sort by linebackers, I mean, he is like first in every single category. I think he's second in solo tackles, first in combined tackles, first in tackles for a loss if you don't include Clay Matthews, who was more of an outside linebacker. The reason he got a lot of those. He was first in interceptions with 18. That's an overlooked part of his game. Like, we all know about the tackling.
18 interceptions as a middle linebacker is insane.
The next closest player has 12 at his position group.
Since he was drafted.
Yes, from 2012 to 2019.
I mean, like, he's not that close, but like, the bottom board on Pro Football Reference of leaders, all-time leaders in interceptions, is at 28. And those are all defensive backs who are having the ball thrown at them on a regular basis. Like, to have 18 interceptions, and even to have 12 and a half sacks as a middle linebacker whose primary job is stuffing the run. And that's really the thing, too, is like, because of his job, because of how he plays downhill, hitting gaps, tackling running backs. I mean, that takes a physical toll on your brain and on the hits that you take. And remember, Kuechly was he was at BC for 4 years, three times at Boston College, was named the Dick Butkus, linebacker of the year in college football. So that's fairly decent. And again, I mentioned the cerebral thing. We'll play this clip really quick, if it's cool, of him from All or Nothing talking about scouting Saquon Barkley.
There's not as much tape on him as other guys I've seen. So, like, the more you watch on guys, the better feel for you can get for him. So, like, when Saquon's in, I got to understand what his running style is. He runs very strong. He's got really good contact balance. His ability to stop, start, and then his lateral ability to run away from guys is unique. He's fast, he's explosive, he runs strong. He's a special guy with the ball. If you don't understand kind of how he likes to run the ball, I think you put yourself at a disadvantage, especially especially with a guy like this that's as unique as he is.
So, I mean, like, that is better when you see the video, so whatever. But Kuechly, like, I saw Billy Marshall of, I guess he's from Cat Scratch Reader sometimes, but he tweets a bunch, at BillyM_91. And I think that he made a good point that it would not be surprising at all to see Kuechly go into scouting or go into, like, coaching. And because that's what Dan Morgan does. And now Dan Morgan, the former Panthers linebacker, really, he's from UCLA, but a similar sort of build in terms of type of player and dealt with concussions. And that's why he retired early. And Dan Morgan is in pro personnel now. Like, Kuechly could, if he wants to do that, he will absolutely have a spot in somebody's front office, I would assume, as a scout. And then eventually maybe on to something bigger.
Yeah, I mean, you always hear stories about coaches and scouts. So one thing you have to be able to do is work those long hours. Like, we make fun of Adam Gase all the time for working those long hours. The difference is, guys like Luke Kuechly, that time is actually well spent and it translates on the field.
Adam Gase is on, like, level 7,000 of Candy Crush, though. So, I mean, like, he's got that going for him.
Here's a Ron Rivera quote, what he told The Athletic about a year and a half ago. This is him telling a story. He said, it was 2015. It was Christmas Eve. I walked in. He was still on the projector. It was 5:30 p.m. I said, hey, you need to go home. He said, well, nobody gets here until tomorrow morning. I said, well, it's Christmas Eve. I think you need to go home. I'll come back in an hour. I hope I don't catch you. So I come back an hour later. I heard his door close, and I was around the corner. So I went and looked up, and the light was still blinking. So I knew he had just left. That's what he does. That's just the way he is.
So I started covering the NFL for CBS in during the 2010 season. So, like, I mean, not – and, look, I grew up a Panthers fan. I mean, this is the team I grew up rooting for and grew up watching. And, it's my team. So the first draft I went to was Cam Newton. Second draft was Luke Kuechly. And it's – like, it is sort of insane that – Cam Newton's time with the Panthers is probably either at an end or about to be at an end, or he has 1 year left and then he's going to go somewhere else. And now Luke Kuechly is retiring. Like, I did not, it is very weird for me to have the guys that I started covering when I got to CBS for the team that I grew up rooting for, to be walking away. And like, I don't know. Kuechly is, it's also interesting, I think, too, because 2 years ago, the Panthers, we really thought that they would be undergoing a lot of transition. And Ron Rivera managed to stave that off. He kept his job for a little bit longer than people thought when Jerry Richardson sold the team to David Tepper. Now Ron Rivera is out. Matt Rhule is in. They just hired Joe Brady from the LSU Tigers. Didn't do an emergency podcast on that. Brady Quinn, don't worry about it. But that's like Joe Brady's in, Matt Rhule is in, Ron Rivera is out, Cam Newton is probably heading out. This team is going to be totally different. I do wonder, Sean, if the idea that Luke Kuechly is looking at this roster and thinking, all right, maybe Cam will be traded. Maybe they're sort of rebuilding with this new coaching staff. Maybe it is also a good time to sort of transition out of town. Do you think that maybe played a factor?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to speculate because you don't know about like how hurt he actually is and what doctors have told him. But yeah, he did mention in a statement that he felt like the state of the linebacking room was pretty strong, so he felt comfortable leaving. That said, you look at their depth chart, and like, there's just no replacing Luke Kuechly. Like, you have Shaq Thompson at one of the inside linebacker spots. I mean, I think that's fine. But then you look who's behind Luke Kuechly. You have Andre Smith, and they drafted Jermaine Carter 2 years ago, I believe. But there's just not really a guy who can step in and replace them, because there just isn't a guy like that who exists around the league unless somehow you trade for Bobby Wagner. So there's just no replacing him. I mean, we just did our all-decade team a couple weeks ago, and we had 20 people voting, and it was either Bobby Wagner or Luke Kuechly getting first-place votes. Not a single other player did not get first-place votes. This guy very clearly was, along with Bobby Wagner, the best linebacker, inside linebackers of the past 10 years, and it's not even close. Yeah. There's no replacing him.
By the way, the Panthers, 7th overall pick in the draft. We talked about Isaiah Simmons. I don't know if you – do you watch college football?
I watched the half of the national championship game.
What did you think?
That LSU quarterback looks pretty good.
Did you take Burrow first overall?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I just don't know how much Burrow you've watched this year.
Very little.
Okay. I mean, it's fine. It's not your job to watch college football.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
No, you're right. I watch very little college football until after the NFL season, and then I try to go back and watch the prospects.
Yeah, I watch most of it because I'm a degenerate. But at any rate, so like it would not be surprising. Maybe an Isaiah Simmons, who we saw on the field, could potentially be in play there at number 7. Certainly, a defensive player could be in the mix. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, is Luke Kuechly a Hall of Famer?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, so Luke Kuechly retires. Not a long career. I mean, that's the, you know, that is just sort of the nature of it. I mean, he was drafted in 2012. It is, by the way, it's crazy to see before we dive into that Hall of Fame, thing. It is pretty wild to see the 2012 NFL draft, Sean. Number one overall, Andrew Luck, retired before the season in shocking news. Were it not for Antonio Brown, he would have been the featured preseason emergency podcast. Number two, Robert Griffin, backing up Lamar Jackson. Number three, Trent Richardson, long out of the league. Number four, Matt Khalil, technically still active.
Football player, yeah.
He's not the Texans, right? Number five, Justin Blackmon, long out of the league. Real off-field issues. Hope he's gotten those taken care of. Number six, Mo Claiborne. Seven, Mark Barron to Tampa Bay, converted to a linebacker. Eight, Ryan Tannehill. Huh? How about that? And now he's four quarters away from going back to Miami, the team that drafted him eighth overall, to potentially win a Super Bowl in Miami. That would be delightful. Number nine, Luke Kuechly, now retired. And number 10, Stephon Gilmore, drafted by Buffalo out of South Carolina, now a potential defensive player of the year with the Patriots after signing with them in free agency. Don Terry Poe, Fletcher Cox, Michael Floyd, Michael Brockers, Bruce Irvin now with the Panthers, Quentin Coples. Huh, wow.
Shea McClellan, 19.
That's right. Trey Kirkpatrick, Melvin Ingram still active. Chandler Jones at 21, a really nice pick. I mean,
Dante Hightower.
So coming after the 2011 draft with like Cam, Vaughn, Julio, AJ Green, Patrick Peterson. We kind of looked at this draft. We're like, hey, maybe this draft has Hall of Fame potential too. And the 2013 draft was a disaster. 2012 has not panned out to be the great draft, that many thought it could be. However, Luke Kuechly could be maybe the only Hall of Famer in the first round. Is Fletcher Cox going to be a Hall of Famer, Debo?
Ultimately, I don't think so, but I think he
probably not.
He's on the right track, but I think he's on the outside looking in.
So the only other guys who could compete to potentially get in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, would be Fletcher Cox, Chandler. And this is just the first round. Fletcher Cox, Chandler Jones, David DeCastro, Dante Hightower, a real long shot. And then Kevin Zeitler has been traded. So I would doubt it. So right now, and maybe Harrison Smith. Mitchell Schwartz was sure.
Can I ask you an interesting question?
Theodore Jenkins? Just kidding.
When Andrew Luck retired, I went back and I redrafted the top 10 of the 2012 draft, which obviously Luke Kuechly's in. Just off the top of your head, looking at that order, where would you draft Kuechly knowing today that he's retiring after eight seasons?
Well, and when we talk about the Hall of Fame, remember Russell Wilson was in this class.
Yeah, so I had Russell Wilson at one. I went Andrew Luck at two still. Because I think if you got that many years with Andrew Luck, you would take that. And I had Kuechly at 5, Bobby Wagner at 4. I think you could have flipped those if you wanted to.
I mean, I would, I'm biased, but I would, because I like Kuechly, but I would take Kuechly over Bobby Wagner.
Well, not anymore.
Well, I mean, like, how many more years is Bobby Wagner playing?
More than Kuechly, and they're both playing, I would say, at the same
Kuechly
level.
Kuechly had a better start to his career, I think, than Wagner. It's like, I mean, Wagner had a great start, but he was also on, like, the Legion of Boom. So, I mean, I would say Keekly's peak is higher, but Wagner obviously will have more longevity. But
so you would still take Kuechly 5, though, or would you take him that high?
Well, who's
knowing you get Stephon Gilmore.
You would take Gilmore over Kuechly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like, if you can put him in Bill Belichick's system.
Like, right.
I had
Fletcher Cox at 7. Probably go Cox now just because.
I don't know how long Fletcher Cox is playing, right? Like, I mean, Fletcher Cox is a 6'4", 310-pound human who is going to be 30 next December. You know, I mean, like, I would probably go Kuechly, but it's pretty close. I just think we're going to see guys retiring it. And this is the interesting debate about the Hall of Fame, too. So, like, the concussion stuff is so new. I mean, now it's accepted, and we've sort of moved into an era where it's like everybody's trying to prevent head trauma. Everybody's aware of what the issues are when you play football, which should have been aware 10 years ago, whatever. We don't have to get into the nuances of that. But, like, if this had happened 5 years ago, it would be breaking news on CNN.
Yes.
29-year-old superstar linebacker walks away from football in the middle of a multi-million-dollar contract, has had concussion issues.
Right, and I think he has a $10 million salary the next 2 years, so he's walking away from $20 million plus, yeah, depending on the bonuses as well. And the reason why you mentioned, it's so crazy to think about, in the last 5 years alone, the number of players who have retired before turning 31, Patrick Willis, who obviously one of the best linebackers of his generation, right up there with Wagner and Kuechly, Calvin Johnson,
Andrew Luck.
Rob Gronkowski, Luke Kuechly. Those are five guys in the last 5 years under the age of 31 who are – those are, make an argument, were the best at their position group when they played.
I mean, like, those guys were all involved in the discussion with the all-decade team. Now, I'm sure that because of Rodgers and Breeze and Brady, Luck wasn't even mentioned as, like, a voting guy. But, like, if you were just saying – you know, I mean, like, he was very, very good. I mean, he was an elite quarterback. So – it's crazy. Yeah, guys are walking away sooner. The Hall of Fame is going to have to deal with that. And this is interesting. I was tweeting with Greg Rosenthal about it. My initial gut reaction when he retired was like, okay, let's sort of look at let's look at his resume. Is he a Hall of Famer in your mind?
For me, yes. I think we should reward guys who were at the top of their game at the top of their position group when they played for a long enough period of time. I think 8 seasons is long enough, especially when you look at his resume. I mean, he made the Pro Bowls are flawed. And the one time he didn't make Pro Bowl, he won Rookie of the Year. Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, so he still won a higher honor in the year he didn't make the Pro Bowl. 5 first team All Pro out of 8 seasons, which is kind of incredible.
5 first team, 1 second team All Pro.
Out of 8 years.
Yeah.
We just ran through the stats. He's like the league leader pretty much every single stat for inside linebackers. I don't know what else he could have done.
2013 Defensive Player of the Year. That matters too.
That's true.
Because that you are recognized as the best defensive player in all of football. Like that you can't, it's not even like, was he the best linebacker in football? It's like, he was the best defensive player in football for at least 1 year, maybe more, when he played 16 games. And so, like, that's a big milestone in terms of a Hall of Fame resume.
And I don't want to we're not going to turn this into an Eli Manning Hall of Fame discussion, but it would really annoy me if we give guys who were never top three at their position group, but were managed to play for 15 years, and compile all these stats and put them in, and we're not going to put in guys like Luke Kuechly, guys like Calvin Johnson. I assume Gronk will get in because he was a part of those Patriots teams, and I mean, he played just a more exciting position than Luke Kuechly did. But I think we have to start rewarding guys who were really good for 5 or 6 years even at the top of their game and were the best at their position group and get them in. The one thing I'll say maybe boding well is the trending towards this. I mean, Terrell Davis just got in, what, 2 years ago? Yeah. And I know he had playoff success, and that probably played a big role being a part of the narrative of getting Elway over the hump. But I think if Terrell Davis is getting in, I mean, he had, what, 3 incredible years at his peak, and that was it? We have to let Kuechly get in, who did it for 8 years.
Yeah, and so Kuechly, Terrell Davis, 3-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro. Yeah.
He had incredible seasons.
He had 4 good years, 1 2,000-yard season. I mean, yeah, like, see, that's what I don't get. And, like, I'm not knocking John Clayton. He's a Hall of Famer and a legend. But I was really surprised. Like, I remember reading this at the time, and I was like, what? In 2016, February 2016, at the Super Bowl in San Francisco, I was actually in a taxi cab on the way from the airport to our hotel in San Francisco with Dan Hanzus and Chris Wessling from around the NFL. And, like, the Calvin Johnson news broke, and I was on a shift.
I remember,
like,
this.
I had to, like, whip out my laptop and do the story. They're like, what is the matter with you? What are you doing? I was like, hey, man, got to grind. But it was shocking news. But John Clayton wrote a column, said, retire the notion that Calvin Johnson will end up being a first ballot Hall of Famer. His 9-year career puts him on the fringe of the Hall of Fame consideration, but more could be needed to make this a no-brainer on the first try. Now, I'm not disparaging John Clayton. He's one of the greatest sports writers of all time, as good as it gets in the NFL. But to me, Calvin Johnson is a no friggin' brainer, slam dunk Hall of Famer. If you don't want to make him on a first ballot, that's fine. I don't care. But when you talk about the best wide receiver in football over an 8-year period, that was Calvin Johnson. He was the exception to the rule. He was bigger, stronger, faster, and more talented than everybody else. And he was the best at his position. Like, and there wasn't really a discussion for like 3 or 4 years, right?
Yes, I'm a Bears fan. So look, I had to deal with that twice a year. There was no other receiver I think I dreaded watching the Bears face than him. The only thing that could stop him was terrible rules of him putting the ball down when he was scoring a touchdown.
Right, or the fact that he played for the Lions and they brought Matthew Stafford in. He led the league in receiving twice. My point being is that this is my concern with Kuechly. And maybe Kuechly is a bridge to opening this up to guys who played shorter time periods. But also worth noting, Patrick Willis didn't make the finalist list this year for the 2020 class. Like, Patrick Willis and Luke Kuechly have very, very similar resumes.
Yep. Especially with going to the Super Bowl, right? Where he was with the 49ers, with Kaepernick.
He was one of the guys who was a Pro Bowler in 2012 when Kuechly didn't make it. He's a first round pick. I think he was 11th overall out of Ole Miss. 5 all pro teams, 7 Pro Bowls, something like that. You know, the resume, I'll look at it here. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. He made all pros a rookie, by the way, in 2007. 5 all pros and 7 Pro Bowls, retired in after 2014, led the league in tackles twice, 8 interceptions, was never defensive player of the year. And that matters again, but pretty similar resumes, and he wasn't a finalist this year.
And let me give one more case for boosting Kuechly. If we want to factor in postseason success, which we absolutely should, in the Panthers Super Bowl run, which obviously culminated with a loss, he had 2 pick sixes in the lead up to that, one against Seahawks in a 7-point game, by the way. Yep. So he provides the difference there, and another in that blowout over Arizona, in addition to having 13 tackles and a sack throughout that run. So if the Panthers are able to finish off that game, and it's not like they lost that game because Luke Kuechly lost that game because their offense couldn't move the ball, we're talking about that as like one of the best like defensive seasons that is punctuated with an all-time great playoff run that he doesn't get credit for because they didn't win the game.
Yep. And by the way, mentioned Patrick Willis is not a finalist. One of the 15 finalists who was in, sort of ironically, Sam Mills, who is the guy that – Keep Pounding is named after him. He was only the Panthers for 3 years, but he made his only all-pro team as a 37-year-old linebacker with the Panthers. Okay, he had four Pro Bowl or five Pro Bowls, one All Pro. He's a like, this is my concern, is that the Hall of Fame voters, and I don't know whether they value longevity or they just do stat comparisons. I think that Kuechly will probably get in because, again, defensive player, like, to me, he should be in. And like Jared Dubin, our colleague, tweeted me, said, if he's not in, what's the point of having the Hall of Fame? I think he will get in. And this is kind of, white linebacker from BC, very friendly with the media, very smart, great personality, outgoing, very charming and personable, racked up tons of tackles, has already been awarded by basically the same group of voters that would vote in the Hall of Fame for the Defensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, the captain of the team, the football guy. It's easy to see him as a sell. So maybe he's the bridge to get all these guys who retire early in.
Yeah, the way I would also phrase it in, I'm not taking a shot at Thomas Davis, who still is playing.
How did Thomas Davis outlast Luke Kuechly?
Right, but I was going to say, right. If you're looking at cumulative stats, you think, oh, Luke Kuechly, not as good as Thomas Davis. When the fact of the matter, if you watch those two guys play side by side, you know Luke Kuechly was the better player. And again, not taking anything away from Thomas Davis, but Thomas Davis ranks.
Thomas Davis was drafted in 2005.
I mean, he's 24th all time in tackles.
Yeah.
And then if you go down, you got to go way down to find Luke Kuechly, obviously, at 59. But that's what I would say, is that it's not all about cumulative stats. That can be a factor and that can play a role. But especially when you're looking at guys who play these punishing positions, it's not Luke Kuechly's fault he's getting concussions. That is just a luck thing. He had bad luck. We shouldn't hold that against him, because if he doesn't get those concussions, you have to think he's still playing and racking up those tackles.
So you're saying he's not prone to concussions? People can't help but they get concussed. By the way, worth noting too, just real quickly, Thomas Davis didn't make a Pro Bowl until 2015, 10 years into his career, which is kind of crazy. He was a safety at Georgia and drafted as a safety by the Panthers in 2005, transitioned to a linebacker, really blossomed once he recovered from those ACL injuries, and then he got put next to Luke Kuechly, and he moved to the outside. And all the credit in the world to Ron Rivera. You know, you talk about it, like, that helped Luke Kuechly a ton, I think, being drafted for a team that was coached by Ron Rivera, learning under a former Super Bowl winning, legendary, defensive player like that. And Luke Kuechly retires at the age of 28, will turn 29 3 days before the draft on April 20th. Miss you, Luke. Enjoy retirement, buddy. That's it for the Emergency Podcast. Sean, talk to you soon, pal.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.